It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello, everybody. It is Thursday in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My name is Adam Bittner, assistant sports editor for multimedia at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, back with Paul Zeiss for our weekly Zeiss is Right video here on the Post-Gazette Sports Now YouTube channel, Post-Gazette Podcast Networks. We're going to be getting into some Steelers, talking about the signing of Scotty Miller, talking about Steelers receivers in general. Is the group good enough as it is? Specifically, they're going to talk about the Arthur Smith offense as well. And there's some debate in Steelers land about, you know, whether they need a solid second receiver or not, given that Arthur Smith wants to run a run-based offense. So we're going to dig into that. We're also going to talk about Paul Skeens, his promotion to the major leagues that's pending this weekend. Also going to get into the Pirates' terrible offense and what's going on there. So if you haven't subscribed already, subscribe to the channel and hop along for the ride here. Also want to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, Pella Windows and Doors. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. That's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Paul, it's gone unmentioned on the channel to this point. The Steelers signed Scotty Miller to a one-year deal. He was with Atlanta last season with Arthur Smith. He's kind of just a guy. I think he had like 160 receiving yards last year. What do you think of that signing? And is anyone from the group of Scotty Miller, Dan Jefferson, Quez Watkins, or any of them, are you taking any of them seriously as real options for Russell Wilson or Justin Fields at quarterback?
I think you used the phrase "he's just a guy," which means they've now compiled what, four? You just read off three or four names of just the guys. It's interesting they didn't want to sign Tyler Boyd because, well, he's more of a slot guy than an outside guy. I mean, Tyler Boyd is Jerry Rice compared to these guys they're signing. So I'm not sure what the actual overall plan is. I've heard some theories about the fact that David, Miller knows there is, what's his name, Scotty Miller. What's his name? Scotty Miller.
Right? Scotty Miller.
Scotty Miller. Yeah. Scotty Miller knows the offense. Oh, wonderful. I'm sure there's a bunch of guys that were interns in Atlanta last year that know the offense too. But that doesn't mean I want them playing receiver. I think that, Adam, you and I have – listen, you and I have been on this for a year now. In fact, we caught heat about it a year ago. And we're still on it. Number one. If you're going to get rid of Deontay Johnson, you better have a better plan than Calvin Watson, Scotty Miller, Kez Watkins, Van Jefferson, is Boykin, I don't even know if Miles Boykin is still around, whoever the hell else you're going to name. You better have a better plan than what we've seen here for that other position. It's kind of frustrating to watch because – slowly but surely, anybody that might actually be a legitimate option at receiver for that second spot has come off the board. And so now, I mean, we're talking about the Steelers, basically, unless there's some blockbuster deal that they're holding out hope that it's going to, the price is going to come down and they're going to be able to make this deal later in the summer. Unless that's the case, it's mind-boggling that this is the receiving core they're going to run out there in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, I still hold out some hope that maybe there's a guy that gets cut. Maybe there's some things that happen in the preseason. The Steelers have been pretty good at that in recent years of finding guys. So, I've not quite given up hope that they're going to find a legitimate number two receiver. But I want to talk about the notion. We talked about this a little bit on the Post-Gazette live stream during the NFL draft, which was this notion that people have. I keep seeing it show up in the comments saying, well, Arthur Smith wants to run the ball. We don't need a number two receiver. We got the George Pickens is fine. And there's a perception, I think, in this fan base that they're going to run like a service academy offense. Like it's going to be Army and Navy, and they're going to be running the triple option out there, and they'll be running the ball in every play. It's the NFL, Paul. Like A.J. Brown was on the Titans when Arthur Smith was there. I mean, you have to be able to throw the ball to soften defenses up, you know, for the run. And it's, you know, if they want to base their offense on the run, I don't have a problem with that. I'm not making that argument. But there are a lot of people that just seem to think that they don't need receivers. And it befuddles me how you can watch the NFL in 2024 and think that that's a possible outcome.
Yeah, that is one of the dumbest notions that I've heard, is that they don't need a second receiver. I mean, what are we talking about? First of all, you know, you have Pat Freiermuth as your tight end option. I think he's a good player. I think he's also injury prone. I also don't know that he's a game breaker. So what are we really talking about here? You need to have another playmaker, and I think that it's been ridiculous that they haven't been able to go out and find one. And especially since allegedly they've been looking really hard to try and find one. So I look at it and say, if you really believe they're going to run out this receiving core and it's going to be good enough, I mean, listen, I could be completely wrong. You know, I'll use Ron Cook's favorite line. Well, I'm not in the room evaluating things, and I'm just going to trust their judgment. But from the outside looking in, Adam, this looks like to me a colossal failure on the part of, you know, Omar Khan and Andy White and Mike Tomlin in terms of trying to put together a roster. This looks like a very large hole in their roster. It's, you know, and the idea that they're going to run this, you know, they don't have Derrick Henry, right? They just don't. They don't have Derrick Henry. And I don't think that even though they're going to run the ball, I don't think that really it's realistic to believe that, you know, you're going to run for 250 or 300 yards a game and grind it out and really only need to make throws here and there to down the field to Pickens, and that's good enough. And these other guys, they're all going to run good routes. And so, you know, you'll be able to get stuff underneath. I'm sorry. That is not going to work. They need to go get another receiver. You and I have been talking about this for as long as we've been doing this podcast, and it hasn't gotten better. In fact,
it's gotten worse.
Because they don't have Deontay Johnson, it's actually gotten worse. So to me, I just feel like it's always, amazing when these narratives start and then they take on a life of their own. And then people all of a sudden start to buy into them, you know, and it's kind of like, listen, it's not good enough. I don't know if this was another topic, but why don't we go somewhere else? I would say the same thing about corner. There's this idea that Joey Porter Jr. is Deion Sanders, and he's going to take away half the field. And, you know, as a result, we can put any guy that we have out there. Who's the guy they drafted last year late? Trice? Corey Trice? Is that his name? Right. Oh, we put him out there. He'll be fine because he's never going to have to be against the best receiver. Well, that's great. But what happens when you play against a team that's got two or three good receivers, which most teams do? So I'm amazed. When they traded Deontay Johnson away, I assumed there was a plan. I assumed there was a plan in place to go get another guy. And to this point, I've seen no evidence that there's a plan in place.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I will say this, Paul. I do like what they're doing at corner better than what a receiver, they're going out and getting guys from the outside that are proven just guys. I do like the notion that they're getting some projectable guys later in the draft, throwing a bunch of them at the wall. Darius Rush, Corey Trice, Ryan Watts, who they just drafted. You know, maybe one of those guys stick. They got the tools. And they're all young guys, right? Like they all have, you know, some ability to grow. So I would put that in a somewhat separate category. Would I like to see a more established, you know, maybe number two corner? Sure, but I think they at least have some things to work with there. I think you know what you're getting with these receiver guys. And Paul, again, I don't want people to mishear us and say, you know, we expect a number two receiver who's going to come in here and put up, you know, fantasy football numbers, right? Right. I mean, that's not Arthur Smith's offense. We entirely understand that. The point is, you know, I think Matt Canada's offense suffered from, you know, what I'm concerned about, which is that if you can't throw the ball effectively for whatever reason, but whether it was Kenny Pickett last year, whether it's a weak receiving core this coming season, it's going to make things more difficult for Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, even if those guys are good, even if this offensive line gets into a groove and is good by the end of the season.
Right. I mean, again, if I'm defending you, Adam, and really all I need to do is bracket George Pickens, I don't care how well you're running the football. You know, if I can cover your other receivers and everything else with one guy, meaning I can bracket Pickens, you eventually are going to have a hard time moving the football because you need to get chunk plays. You need to get big plays. You need to get the ball down the field. And right now, if I'm looking at the Steelers, okay, how am I going to approach them if I'm a defense? I don't know that I'm particularly worried about much of their passing game.
Yeah, and I will say, we haven't mentioned Roman Wilson here. I feel good about Roman Wilson as a long-term addition to this receiving core. I just question, is he going to be the guy that we're talking about in 2024? You know, maybe he will be. Maybe he'll prove us wrong. And these guys can be depth pieces behind Roman Wilson and George Pickens. I just think that there's a long way between here and there. I guess let's see how spring camp goes and you know what they learn, and maybe they'll see there. Well, maybe Roman Wilson isn't quite ready for the role the way we would like him to be. We'll go out and get something. But, you know, as I look at it right now, that's a lot of pressure to put on a rookie.
Isn't he a slot guy, though?
He is, although they've talked about using him in, you know, potentially a number two role as well, because he can get down the field the same way, you know, George Pickens does. He's not as tall, can't make those flashy types of plays, but he can get the separation. I think he could run those routes, Paul. It's just a question of, is he ready to do that as a rookie against, you know, some of the top corners on other teams?
And didn't they really draft him in some ways? And this is what leads me to believe he's going to be a slot guy kind of guy. In some ways, didn't they draft him because of his physicality, which would point back to the running game? You know what I'm saying? Like I'm just really, really looking at this and trying to understand what the plan is at that other outside receiver position. And I just don't know that I see one.
Well, let me ask you this question too, Paul. I think that if people are expecting or wanting the Steelers to clone what Arthur Smith has done in Tennessee and Atlanta, I don't think that's good enough either. Arthur Smith was available for a reason, and it wasn't all his fault what happened in Atlanta, but, you know, you've got to, like, improve on what he's been doing. Like, you've got to have a better model, a better version to kind of get where the Steelers want to go, given that, you know, even in Tennessee, he did some solid things. I think he got more out of that offense with the pieces that he had than a lot of people expected he might. And maybe he can do that with the Steelers, but what's the standard here? Is the standard exceeding expectations a little bit, or is the standard competing seriously in the AFC? And I think we get comments saying we're too negative on this show, Paul, but I hold them to the standard of you got to go beat the best teams in the AFC to get where Steelers fans want them to go. And that's the standard I'm holding them to in these conversations.
Right, and I thought that's the standard we're supposed to hold them to, Adam. I thought this was the franchise that was the standard. Okay, I don't care that, you know, 7, 8 weeks of the season, you're going to be better than whoever you're playing. I don't care about that. What I care about is, can you beat Kansas City? Can you beat Buffalo? Can you beat Baltimore? Can you beat Cincinnati maybe? You know what I mean? Can you beat the Dolphins? Can you beat the Texans in the playoffs? That's my standard. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm looking at. And I'm saying to myself, gee, I don't know if they can.
Yeah, and listen, maybe they'll find some solutions between here and there, and you know, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt for a while longer, but I just really wanted to talk about that notion that it's not necessary and that the Steelers can just proceed apace and everything's going to be great. I don't believe that at all. And you know, if they get a number two receiver here, then that's when I start believing that, yeah, maybe they can do some special teams. Maybe they can beat some of those teams in the playoffs. Maybe they can surprise some people. But until then, I'm not a huge fan of that direction. We're going to get into some Pirates now. Before we do, just want to thank another sponsor, Pitt Johnstown. It's a Pitt quality education with up-close and personal learning. A top-ranked Northeast public college by U.S. News & World Report. Generous scholarships and financial aid are available, located under 655 picturesque acres with easy access to the city center, including shopping and dining. It's a vibrant campus life with an active D2 athlete community. Check out Pitt Johnstown today. Paul, what's your reaction to the Paul Skeens promotion? Is he enough to salvage this 2024 Pirates team especially if he's going to have like a hard innings cap, or if he's only going to pitch, if they're going to go to a six-man rotation, he's only going to pitch, you know, once a week at most. You know, what is his ability to fix what is wrong here?
Can he hit? I mean, I'm not being facetious. Listen, is he going to be an upgrade over Quinn Priester? Yeah. Is he going to be an upgrade over Bailey Falter? Probably. So, okay. You know, they will have the ability to have another really good pitcher. And, you know, back to back, they'll have him and Jones. It'll be exciting. We'll be able to talk about 100-mile-an-hour pitches and all that other good stuff. I think it's great. I think it's probably, you know, time to bring him up. But I was different, Adam, than most people in saying that if they bring him up this week, fine. If they don't, I don't care. And the reason is because he doesn't solve the major problem this team has. If you look at what's going on with this team, Mitch Keller's been pretty good. His last start, he was really good. Martin Perez has been pretty good. You know, he wasn't bad yesterday against the Angels. Wasn't bad. He, you know, had a couple bad pitches, but for the most part, he gave him a chance. In fact, he left the game with a win in his pocket, and Luis Ortiz came in and lit a match to it. Falter's been okay. Jones has been really good. Their pitching has been pretty good every single night in terms of, you know, except for the night that Quinn Priester pitched when he got blown up. But all I'm trying to say is, I'm happy, and I'm going to be excited just like you and everybody else. I want to see this kid pitch. I think he gives them that sort of, you know, that ace kind of guy. Now they've got two of those guys with that mentality with him and Jones. You know, theoretically, 5, 6, 7 years, for the next 5, 6, 7 years, the 1-2 punch they have at the top of their rotation is going to be, you know, dynamic. But it doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't solve it. I'm much more interested in some other things that we're going to get into right now, I'm assuming.
Yeah. This doesn't feel like – a lot of people have compared this to the Gerrit Cole debut. I don't think it's anything like that. I think that 2013 team was already generating buzz. People were already feeling good about it. You bring in Gerrit Cole, and he kind of finished that team to some extent, Paul. And I don't think Paul Skeens is finishing this Pirates team. I think that they have a lot of problems. I want to ask this question about Skeens first, and then I want to get into the offense a little bit more. Does anyone in this organization deserve credit if he succeeds, or will it somewhat be an indictment of them because they've had so little time to screw him up and it'll show?
Right. No, they don't get, I mean, listen, I have never worked a single day as a scout or as a general manager, and I could have drafted Paul Skeens last year. And you know what they've done with him, you're right. What I'll be interested to see is how they try and change his approach or change the way he pitches when he gets to the majors here. If they're going to try and do some of the things they've done with some of the other guys that has completely taken them out of their game. Now, that being said, they've handled Jared Jones and they've allowed him to be him. So maybe they're learning. Maybe they're changing their approach. I don't know. I just know this, that Paul Skeens is going to be good regardless of what the Pirates did or didn't do for him. So I don't give them a ton of credit for anything other than they actually drafted the guy they were supposed to draft.
Let's get into the offense, Paul. How long do you think they're going to let this Rowdy Tellez experiment play out? Are we in Austin Hedges 2.0 territory where they're going to gaslight us until the deadline saying, "Nah, he's fine. Actually, if you look at this one narrow statistic that we're deciding is the most important, he's great. Don't worry about the 160 batting average." Do you think they're going to try to just snow us, you know, for lack of a better term, until they have some better option? Or do you think Rowdy Tellez is on the high on the list of guys to move on from if they're going to bring some of these guys up from the minor leagues?
I think they're going to try and snow us, Adam, until at least the trade deadline with Rowdy Tellez. To me, the moves are very simple, right? DFA Rowdy Tellez, if he clears waivers, which I think he might, send him to AAA, and you can always have him as an option, right? And then to me, I don't know, Aliko Williams, get rid of him, send him to Indy, maybe Triola, send him to Indy, right? Now all of a sudden you bring up Juwan Bey, you bring up Nick Gonzalez, you bring up Jake Lamb. You put Connor, you know, you put Connor, Joe, and Bay in the outfield with Reynolds. You put Nick Gonzalez at second and Lamb at first and see what happens. You have Jared Triolo, you know, he can be your, you know, he can be, I'm sorry, you have Jack Sawinski can be your fourth outfielder. You know what I mean? This is not hard. It's not hard at all, but they're making it hard.
Yeah, but I also have some level of skepticism about those guys in AAA because they didn't bring them north for a reason, Paul, and I don't think that they got it purely wrong. And how many times have we seen guys put up numbers in AAA and then come to Pittsburgh and look just like these guys that they already have on the roster? So,
but my question with you, Adam, is number one, like I said, it can't be worse.
Right, I agree. Right?
They can't be worse. Number two, and this especially, I mean, I'd rather give Nick Gonzalez the chance than Alika Williams and Triola and these guys. I know what their ceiling is. Nick Gonzalez appears to be a guy with a high ceiling. Let's see if he can achieve it. You know, Jiwon Bae, for whatever he, you know, let him bat lead off. If he gets on the base with his speed, he might actually be able to make something happen. All I'm saying is, you know, to me, I'm looking at these guys. I'm not saying they're saviors, but I can't watch this the rest of the season. I mean, this is absurd. I was at the game yesterday. It was 100 degrees out sitting in that game yesterday watching these guys watch strike after strike after strike after strike. I mean, this team has to lead the league in getting to two strike counts. They have to lead the league. And I get it. We're trying to wear out pitchers. Well, guess what? You're not wearing anybody out. All you're doing is making your guys swing at bad pitches because they got two strikes. And then you wonder why you strike out 95 times a game. You know what I'm saying? It's absolutely ridiculous. And so to me, either change your approach with these guys, which they're not going to, or get up, you know, some of these other guys up there and let's just see what happens. Let's see what happens. You know, part of the plan, you're drafting Nick Gonzalez in the first round. Let's see what happens when you give him a real legitimate shot to play second base for 25 games. If he stinks again, guess what? You've lost nothing. Send him back, bring Triola up, and you're happy. You know, it's mind-boggling that the approach has been, well, let's just stick with these guys because.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to come up here and hit 360, Paul, but hopefully they can hit better than what the Pirates have been running out there lately. And, you know, that's the only thing they need to do for it to be a good move. I don't know if it's going to save this team. I think there is systemic issues with the way they're developing their hitters. And one of those people is O'Neill Cruz, Paul. I've seen a lot of people on social media and in comments, again, here on YouTube, kind of say, well, we don't really have to take, you know, O'Neill Cruz's performance seriously until July 1st. He had a whole year off. He's got to get back into the swing of things. But if it was just O'Neill Cruz struggling, Paul, I might be inclined to say, sure. It's not. It's pretty much everybody. This is year five of this regime, Paul, and they have one guy with an OPS over 800, and it's a guy Neil Huntington drafted in the first round that Ben Cherington initially let go, and that's Connor Joe. Right. They have not produced one hitter worth a dang, and O'Neill Cruz is supposed to be the highest level of an exception to that rule, and he's not. And so what level do you attribute his struggles to coming back from injury, and how much do you attribute to everyone else sucks and he's not getting the proper instruction?
Well, I mean, I think the big thing with O'Neill Cruz, you got a big, tall guy like that. He's starting to give me flashbacks to Polanco, where there are some holes in his swing that pitchers, good pitchers, are going to exploit. If he hits it, he's going to hit it a long way. If he hits it, so they need to continue to work with him. I'm willing to be patient with him because the upside is there with him. You know, I don't need to be patient with Rowdy Tellez. I know what he is. You know, it's different. It's a completely different animal.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing with O'Neill Cruz, too, Paul, is if he doesn't work out, I mean, that's there's nothing else. I mean, we talk about there are pitchers in this system that if Quinn Priester doesn't work out, that if Ronzi Contreras doesn't work out, that if, you know, Luis Ortiz, some of these guys we've been seeing the last handful of years, if they end up getting churned out of the system, there are guys behind them that are going to get opportunities that I think you can feel pretty solid about. I don't feel that way on the offensive side. And if you don't have an O'Neill Cruz, who's, you know, a very good player, you know, for the long run, I don't see how this wave that they've been building toward crests in a playoff berth or, you know, a 90-win, 95-win team that can seriously compete to win the World Series.
unless they go add players, which you know they're not going to, unless they're willing to part with, say, a Bubba Chandler to bring in a, you know, an outfielder that can actually hit, you know what I mean, or something like that. Unless they're able to do and willing and able to do that, which we know they won't. So that's just kind of where we're at with that.
Yeah, I'm going to be curious to see how things play out, though. At least something interesting is going to happen here, Paul, where we're going to be able to see Paul Skeens once a week, and it'll be entertaining. It'll be interesting. I don't know if it's going to fix anything, but at least it'll be worth watching, at least until Steelers camp starts. Any final thoughts on the week, Paul?
Nope. Next week when we talk, we will have seen Paul Skeens, and hopefully we'll see some of these other hitters that we're talking about, too.
Yep, we'll have plenty to react to. Maybe the Steelers will make a move between here and there. I'm not holding my breath, but, you know, otherwise, stay tuned. Christopher Carter will be back on the North Shore Drive on Friday talking Steelers. I think we'll have a clip from him on Saturday as well. I'll be back with Paul next Thursday. Thanks, everyone, for stopping by. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.